Thanks, guys. Wow. Man, I love that prayer, Tom, about it doesn't have to be a long, drawn-out thing. Who knows the lights can come on? Who knows you can, like, see and go, oh. And when you see, it changes everything, huh? Thanks for being here. You guys having fun that have been here all through the day and stuff? Is this a good time? Yeah. Wasn't this time together with Rita and the team good? I was just really, really, that last song, building my life on his love, and it's going to be my foundation. What a song. Wow. Well, I'm trying to calm down because I'm pretty revved up. I got a lot of stuff on my heart. You say, well, don't calm down. Yeah, you don't understand. It's like four different things. So you really can't go wrong tonight. I could probably say a lot and we would be okay. You just want to be right. And he knows the room. So I want you to go to Colossians chapter 1. Isn't that funny? That's nothing that was on my heart. Hey, it's good to have things on your heart, but it's really good to believe you're hearing him. Amen. So we've been talking a lot. Todd and I are almost on the same page if you hear us talking. It was funny too, you guys. Thanks for bearing with me the last two sessions. I felt like the first session, I really had fun this morning with just, I was being serious, the expressions, because I see you guys. And it just felt like some of you were like, what? But there's a perspective in the gospel that somehow has slipped away from us. The intention of God in sending his son isn't talked about a lot, and it's not really clear. It's usually he forgave my sins so I can go to heaven, and that's where we stop. It's usually not so heaven can come into me, transform my life, get me out of the old, and put me into the new. And the just have to live by what? By faith. So your fight in life, I know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness, high places. I understand that scripture, but that just means there's a contention there. There's adversity. There's pressure coming on your life, but your fight isn't even with the devil. It's certainly not with people. Your fight is the good fight of faith. Your fight is believing who you are now that he's come and why you are who you are. Like why he's in you, continuing in the call of why he's in you and why he sent his son and never losing sight of the truth of why you're here now that he came and why he lives inside of you. That's the fight of faith. So adversity, we talked about this a lot. I'm not going to camp here long. Bear with me. Adversity, circumstances, trials, wouldn't you agree, have tended to change a lot of us over time. And what we're going through seems to have a louder voice than what he has said through his son. And all of a sudden our motive is just to get help from God in the moment instead of become more like him in the moment so we bear witness of him in that moment. The reason people pray to not go through trials is because they're afraid of fire. But when you honor the Lord and not the fire, he's the fourth man that always shows up. So when you go through the fire, you can't even tell the person was in the fire when they go through it by faith. Come on, an old covenant, Old Testament story should wreck us. There's three guys going to get thrown into a fire. They weren't even fazed by the thought. They said, oh, King, what is your fire to us? We don't even have a need to answer you in the matter. The fire was certain death in the natural. They said it ain't the point. The fire isn't the point. It's who we worship and who we bow to. That's the point. And we believe we're going to stand before him someday. We ain't bowing to you. You're not the Lord. Your image is not the Lord. We're not bowing, King. That's what they were saying. He got enraged and turned it up 7 times hotter. Why? Because when the thing increases, that's when we change. You get prayed for cancer, it's easy to pray. Man, we gather, we oil, we get the music's right, weeping, Jesus come, we know the word, we got so many scriptures we can pray. You go back for your test and the numbers are a little higher, that's when you find out what you believe. It's Bible. Sometimes it just gets a little hotter. Does that change truth? Does that change your original stand? Does that change him? Does that change the finished work? Does that change the promises? So are we gonna define God through our lives or are we gonna define our lives through him? Are we finding God as we go, or did we already find him through his son? Are we rooted and grounded in love, or are we still trying to prove love through life? Come on, guys. How can you ever live by faith if faith worketh through love and you're still trying to prove love through his life? Well, if God loved me, then how come? Well, I thought God loved me. Oh my goodness, God. Did you ever hear people talk like that because of circumstances? Man, where's God's love? God's love is on the cross. He's saying, I love you. Die to yourself. Keep your eyes on me. Don't miss the point. I want you to shine in every moment. Come hell or high water, shine. Love not your own life unto death. Don't seek your own. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Shine. That's what he's saying. I'm a little nervous. I really feel ramped up, buddy. I don't know what's... You're good? Passion doesn't bother you. You guys listen to Todd. It can't bother you. This thing is passionate. He gave his life for this thing, right? But it's not like a heavy, oh man. It's like, whoa, yeah. Look, them boys weren't phased. It got 7 times hotter. That didn't mean a thing to them because what they believed, they believed. You know why we pray for no fire? Because we're afraid it'll burn us. The goal isn't praying for no fire. The goal is praying to know him more, because knowing him is eternal life and manifesting him in the midst of the fire, so that when you come through it, there's no smell of smoke, but there's an increased revelation of him and passion and yay and what I believe is true and Jesus is Lord. That's what affects people. I think sometimes we're just praying to get by and get through. I'd rather come through shining. Them boys weren't even thinking about the fire. It was never about the fire when you read the story. You know what fascinates me? I think about it, and I've been talking about it a little because nobody really has an answer for me. But when you look in the Bible, the king's decree was so urgent that when they went down to the furnace, the guards that took the boys down there, what happened to them when they opened the door? The fire consumed the king's own men. And I'm going, so how'd they get in there? The guys that were going to put them in got fried. So how'd Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even get in the furnace? I think Jesus came and booted them. That's what I think. I think an angel came and said, oh, this is going to be so fun. Because there wasn't nobody to put them in, they got toasted. Because they weren't in covenant. They weren't believing. They were trying to kill these boys and the fire killed them. That's not cool. How'd they get in the furnace? Jesus. I guess he believes he's Lord over the fire. It's probably why he didn't put the fire out. Why would you put the fire out and give the honor to the fire? Why would you teach us that the fire needs to be honored and put out when his boys just need to be in the middle of it, unfazed, untouched, and unscathed? That's greater honor to what they believe. It was never about the fire going out. It's about what you believe. See, this is why you got to love not your own life unto death, because if you don't understand it, you're freaked out by the fire and you're bowing to the image. You're created for his image and you're bowing to this image. That's perverted. That sounds backwards. You're made for image and bowing to image to preserve life. Whoa. This Old Testament story, they didn't even have the understanding we have. They didn't have the blood and they didn't have the cross and they didn't have the baptism of Holy Spirit. But they had the integrity of faith and said, we know that that thing you built 90 feet tall is not the Lord. We are not bowing to it. Daniel's the same way. He could have closed his doors and he could have prayed in a closet. The man put himself in the lion's den because he left the thing open every day and did the same thing he did every day when the decree came out. He just opened up and he worshiped God every day. And they said, hey, Daniel's not honoring your decree. King Darius, he's violating. He's a violator. Daniel put himself in the lion's den. I guess he just wasn't afraid of the lions. He'd rather worship his God. That just astounds me. So here we are today, fight the good fight. Why is it a good fight? You win. I don't know about you, but I grew up in New York City. When you're in the city, there's kids everywhere. You got kids on every block. You got banty roosters. You got hot shots. You got bullies. You got wimps. And you're somewhere trying to fit in all that. When you're growing up young, and you get in fights in the city, there ain't no way around it. Even if you're not a fighter, you probably end up in one, or you just won't fight back. And everybody has a big brother, whether they have one or not. Like now I got a big brother, but my brother was 14 months older, but I could beat him up, so I couldn't use my brother. But you couldn't be down at the park, you know, and I couldn't say, well, I'm going to get my brother. And they're like, okay, so what? No, you would have to play people. You'd be like, dude, you just don't even mess with me, man. You don't know what you're getting into. I'm going to get my brother. You ain't got no brother. I got a brother, man. He's 2 years older than me. He will tear you up. Dude, you touch me, he's on you. And you could play him just enough to get away. Everybody had a big brother. But when you did get in a fight, the reason it was a good fight, man, I remember one day, my eye, I couldn't even see out of it. My lip, when I talked, I sounded funny because it was up over my other lip. And it was like, hey, man, what you doing, man? And they were like, dude, what happened to you? I said, man, we were fighting. Man, you got tore up, dude. You should see him. Man, but your eye is messed up and your lip. Yeah, but both his eyes is messed up. He can't even talk. And I'm sure a tooth is missing on the left side. I rocked his world, man. What? It was a good fight because he looked worse than me. So I didn't even feel what I looked like because I felt like it was a good fight. So I believed I won. Why is it a good fight? Because when you keep your eyes on him and don't move and don't waver from the faith, you win. It's amazing. And I don't know if we understand the testimony we bring to the hearts of men when we live unmoved, unshaken, unchanged. The beauty of your coworkers realizing after the fact something you passed through and having no idea you even passed through it, that shakes people. Because most people wear their circumstances on their sleeve and their face. And most people become a product of what they're going through instead of a product of what he went through. And they carry what they're going through out here. And everybody around you knows you're going through that because it shows in your countenance. It shows in your encouragement. It shows in your zeal, whether it's lacking or whether it's full. So people tend to believe that we're Christians for our sake and that we use God as a crutch to get through life. People believe that. But it's not the truth. He lives in us and we're called to shine. Are you hearing? And we fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5, it says, 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, the devil, he's roaming around like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom? He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for weakness, vulnerability. He loves complaining. Complaining's a dead giveaway. When you complain, you reveal it's all about you and you're not satisfied. Makes you an easy target. Paul said, don't you complain like they did in the wilderness. You need to learn from this and be admonished and not follow their example. I write these things to you as an admonishment. It's 1 Corinthians 10. So you don't follow their example. Don't you complain like they complained in the wilderness and got destroyed by the destroyer, devoured by the one who devours. Complaining is a dead giveaway that it's all about you and you're not satisfied. The enemy just eats complaining alive. He's seeking and he's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking who can devour. And then when adversity comes, you're praying against it and it keeps coming because the complaining and the motive behind complaining hasn't changed. So more adversity comes. You get confused and say, man, I'm praying. Why isn't God stopping this? And you don't realize you're the very runway for it to happen. So he ain't letting anything happen. You're positioned for it by either what you don't understand or what you haven't changed in your life. Are you with me? Come on. Don't get heavy on that. Just trying to help. I've heard too many Christians complain. It's a giveaway. We don't totally understand the gospel. The Bible says you don't ever complain. Why? Because it's never again about you. It's always about him. You seek ye first the... So where's complaining in that motive? Philippians chapter 2 says, do all things without grumbling and complaining. How many things? All things without grumbling and complaining. Why? So you can shine as a light in the midst of a, or shine as an innocent, harmless, innocent person in the midst of a twisted and perverse generation who's living for themselves. You've died to yourself. They're living for themselves. So you're seen as a harmless, innocent child in the midst of a twisted generation whom you, shining forth as a light, are holding forth the word of life. By simply not complaining and grumbling. Some of you say, that's supernatural. No, it's surrender. Do all things. How many? Without grumbling and complaining. So you can be seen. Philippians 2, as innocent. It's right on the heels of he made him name above every name. And that at the mention of his name, every knee and every tongue would bow and confess heaven, earth, under the earth, that Jesus is Lord. It says, therefore, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who works in you both to will and do for his good pleasure. Therefore, do all things without grumbling and complaining. Isn't it amazing? He exalts Jesus to the highest place that can ever be. And right on the heels of that, he says, you therefore, and makes us one. Isn't it amazing? He raises from the dead in Matthew 28 and says, I don't believe he said, hey guys, all authority in heaven and earth's been given to me. He just comes from the realm of the dead. Holy Ghost goes in and lights the place up. There's no thing they can do about it. Ah, he takes Jesus according to the spirit of holiness because his blood was innocent and death had no dominion over him. No one took his life. He freely gave it. He had to be made to be sin to even be able to die because according to the law of righteousness, death had no dominion over him. He was as if Adam was before the tree in the garden. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Jesus had to get tacked to the tree and be made to be sin so he could die. Did you ever think how you could beat a man till he can't even be recognized and he's still alive? Marred more than any of the sons of men. It's in your Bible, Isaiah 52. When they were done beating Jesus, he was in worse condition than any man ever was at the hands of men. Bible. Beat him beyond description, and he's quoting scripture. Coherent. John, your mother, your son. And you can't tell it's Jesus. And the Pharisees are going, even now, he quotes the scripture. When it was all over, the guard said, surely this was the Son of God. Why? He's hanging there and you can't even tell who it is. And he can't die. Why? Romans 5. Adam sinned and death entered the earth. And because all men sinned, all men die. Guess who never sinned? Guess who couldn't die? It wasn't until he was put on the cross. So on the cross, God did not curse his son. He didn't curse his son. He made his son to be sin and he cursed sin in the flesh. So sin shall have no dominion over us. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Man, that'll make your hair stand up if you believe it. Woo! See, the war between God and man is supposed to be over. It's not your fight against sin. It's the fight of faith. Believing you're free, believing you're clean, believing you don't have to be the person you were that lived apart from him, believing yesterday has no bearing on today, because today is the day of salvation. Now is the time. It's a new day, and all things are new. So you got to start where he finished, or you'll never run well. So looking back is out of bounds. That's Lot's wife. You're his bride. Don't look back and get stuck from where you were delivered and where you're heading. Don't be a pillar of salt frozen between deliverance and destiny. Look up from whence comes your help and make it to the promised land. Fight the good fight of faith. Yeah. Your fight is believing who you've become now that he came. Living in righteousness, keeping your face unveiled, following your convictions, never letting it convert into condemnation because you sit on it and violate your conscience and go against the grain of truth. No, 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 no. As soon as you see something, you go whoop, bam, whoop, bam. You run to him. You run to him. You say, man, thank you for the truth that's working in me. 2 months ago, I'd have done that and wouldn't even blinked. And now I see it's not who I am in you. It's not who you are in me. It's not about failing. It's about becoming. You run to him. See, I'm not preaching a way to sin and get away with it. I'm preaching a way to be free. You run to him. You let grace take you to where's possible. Let's stop weighing ourselves by ourselves and saying we're following him. Let's make sure we're not tricked into following each other and living as high as each other's experience. If he said, follow me, I want to go where he paid for. I want to go where grace can take us. It's like a Star Trek movie in the spirit, going where no man has gone before. Don't you limit yourself in righteousness. Don't you limit yourself in holiness. You can live holy without trying to be holy. Trying to be holy is why you won't live holy. But when you understand you're right in the sight of God, holiness, righteousness produces its fruit to holiness. Remember yesterday? Everything has children. Discouragement births things. Truth births things. It doesn't matter whether it's disobedience or obedience. They both birth things. It could be sin leading to death, or it could be righteousness leading to obedience. But everything has children. So every day you wake up, every day you wake up. Better yet, every night you go to bed. Make sure your face is unveiled. Make sure you never jump in your bed and just make love to your pillow and say, oh, I'm so glad this day is over. Oh, God, I hardly, oh, God. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, I don't even want to get up. Why? You don't want to face what you barely made it through. We call it depression. I call it wrong perspective. You go to bed thankful. Don't you go to bed and not lift your hands to him. Don't you crawl in bed and not lift your hands to him. You're in fellowship with him. You wouldn't drive in a car with a friend and not talk to him. Why do we do it with God all the time? We listen to songs that are singing about him and don't even talk to him. We wear a t-shirt that's proclaiming him and a bumper sticker that bears witness of him. And we have a Christian ringtone and screensaver and never even commune with him. Sometimes. Drive 50 miles in your car and listen to a song about him the whole time, or listen to a sermon being preached about him and never actually talk to him personally. That's a problem, because you'll never get to know him that way. You'll know all about him, and then when you know about him, will convict your life, and then your convictions will turn into slowly condemnation, because you'll weigh your life based on what you know, and it won't look like what you know, and you'll condemn yourself. So you'll judge yourself by yourself. And then you'll hear stuff like this in your head. Well, if I didn't get it by now, I'm probably never going to get it. Well, I had every opportunity and here's my life still the same. I guess maybe I'm not even saved. I guess maybe I'm not sincere. Maybe I'm just not pure. Maybe. And the whole time you care inside, which means you're alive. Come on, I'm talking to people in this room right now. You've been through that cycle in this room. And your heart's crying out inside. That's a sign you're alive inside and you're being deceived. You cry yourself to sleep. That's a good sign in the sense that you're alive inside. Your heart's not as far away as you think. Your understanding's just far away. You're just an understanding away from transformation. Because the blood is speaking better things. And while you were yet a sinner, God sent his son. He's not sitting there with his brow raised and his head half turned. Where sin's abounding, grace is coming greater. Why? To deliver you and show you who you are. Time to fight the good fight of faith. It's time to go to bed every night and lift your hands when nobody's looking. Even if you're married, slide in a bathroom and do it alone. And then go with your spouse and do it together. Yeah. You jump right in the sack, man. You say, hey, girl, come here. Yeah, she's used to you. Come here. Boy, wouldn't she be amazed if you say, come here, girl. Lift your hands with me. I want to worship God. She say, I want to thank God. Say, I want to thank God right now for our lives, for the victory through the cross. I want to begin to grow in the spirit with you, girl. I want to begin to love you like he does. And she'd be like, okay. I can't believe I'm going to be this graphic because it's already here and I know I got to say it. So I'd miss God if I don't. But I'm being real perfect. My wife is going to freak out, man. Don't. Oh, it's, I hope she never sees this. When I got a revelation, this, when I first got saved, we would put the kids to bed and run to the living room because we knew he'd be there waiting for us. We would run to the living room and run into him. I'm not joking. And he was there excited because he knew we were coming. We would run right into him together as one. And we'd be like, oh, we're here. We know my wife's so sensitive. She's like, oh. Sometimes I would just have fun. I say, Lord, just bust. She'd be just like, I'm not kidding. When I got saved, I just walked through the house. Father, I just thank you, my life. My five-year-old, he'd just go like this. And I'd just be walking and I'd say, Father, I thank you. Now, I'm not 5 years old. In the carpet, out cold. About the third day in, he's over at his toy box. Hariya shararabaka, sandi arabaka. Shetananamaha, Shiori Arabaka, Shendama, Hatianamaha, Sheta. 5 years old. My wife and I can't believe it's the back of my heart. I tried to get out of it. I tried to divert to my son. We would worship, we would pray. And God began to show us the things that were available in the Spirit. God would, because we were living outside ourselves. It wasn't about us. We weren't Christians for us. We learned something. We weren't just looking for the blessing. We were so blessed to be free from ourselves, free from self-consciousness, free from all the stuff we hardly ever made it through. Like life has changed now. It's a whole different reason for. And God would show us people and faces and things and give us insight. And we'd make phone calls and intercede and pray night after night after night. And we would hold each other and pray. And the Spirit of God would ravage us. And we were just new. And we were like, this is amazing. And then she would end up on the floor three times maybe. She'd be just... And then every once in a while, she would say, honey, I'd say, yeah. She'd hold up her hands and say, carry me upstairs. And just love me like he loves me. And I would just carry upstairs and cry. Because before I would lust my wife, And I would act out fantasies with my wife. And I could be angry and function with my wife. But now it's all changed. It was such a holy, pure, amazing thing. My wife would open herself up to total loving God. And his presence is the hoopah. And we're under it. And he's just, and she would say, carry me upstairs and love me. And I would be like, carry upstairs. And I would just lay her in the bedroom and worship God and talk to him and look in her eyes and pray over her and talk to God. You put such love in me. There's no way I could express it as a man. Would you help us? We don't take off the spirit to put on the flesh. We put off the flesh to put on the spirit. Would you help me love this woman like you put it in my heart? And we would have supernatural union like it was from the beginning. And all of a sudden I realized why that arena in our lives is so perverted. Because you don't counterfeit $1 bills. You go after the things that are worth much. There ain't one arena in your and my life that's been more perverted than sexuality. There ain't nothing more exploited than sensual sexual stuff. Why? To keep man driven sensually so he can never live by the spirit in the arena that's waiting. The Bible says don't let the marriage bed be defiled. It doesn't just mean don't bring your neighbor's wife. Of course it means that. But it means don't bring the flesh into it. Because when do you put off the spirit to live in the flesh? When is it all about you? When is it about how you feel? Orgasm. Ooh. Watch this one. Hey, honey. Hey, honey. Kids are in bed early. Hey. Yeah, I know. It's just been a long day. It's been 3 days, girl. And she finally gives in, and all it is an obligatory, yeah, I'll flow with you. I wonder if you turn that moment into this, and you receive some fulfillment that's way beyond what you ever had together apart from him. Oh, what am I doing right now? I'll tell you what's so healthy about what I'm saying. Because when you look at the direction that used to bind all of us and has still bound some of us, and you see it for what it really is, you will marvel and wonder why it ever drew your eye and why you ever gave time there when you see it for what it is. You let light come on this thing, and you let truth be revealed, and the luster that was there isn't luster at all. And all of a sudden you see things for what it really is, and your heart is so shifted, and now you grieve where you used to fantasize. Whew. The last I read my Bible, I'm a new creation. Old things passed. Oh, I bet that's not just the sins I committed. That's the way I thought, the way I felt, the way I was motivated, and the way I believed. It's all changed. My wife looked at me one night in the bed laying. We were just laying. We was cuddling. It wasn't sexual. We were just cuddling and talking. And she said, you know what? I feel like if something happened to me and like for some reason I could never, just never come together with you like a man comes together with a woman, you wouldn't even blink. You'd be like totally okay. And yet I know you so love me. I said, honey, I wouldn't even blink. I love you. She goes, oh. It was the safest place she's ever been. Because love usually involves what I can get from you and how you do me right. And yeah. I remember ministering to a prostitute one night and pouring my heart out to her. And it's a long story. I won't get into it. She ended up in my truck. Because I was trying to find a lady, and that would have freaked Christians out, right? If they'd have saw that. I didn't even think about it till the morning. In the morning, I went, oh, that would have been a good one. Pastor Dan, local pastor. It was his truck. Man of God, thought I finally found somebody sincere. The real deal. And yet I saw that woman get in his truck on Penn Street, and it ain't good. And then by morning, they already called 8 people crying. Keep it in prayer. Don't tell anybody. I asked her to get in my truck to help me find the lady because she said she knew where she was. I said, well, then you got to take me to her. I didn't know any other way. I was in the passion of love in the moment. It was the spirit. We set up general rules, but love just violates them all when it's sincere love. The Bible says, yeah, but avoid the appearance of evil. Do you know why you avoid the appearance of evil? Because if it's only the appearance of evil and it's not evil, why do you have to avoid it? Because men think evil. God is so humble that he tells us to avoid the appearance of evil so you don't stumble people that aren't walking in truth. So watch this. Love thinks no evil. So every time you think evil, it's an indictment against yourself that you're not perfected in love. So we have to avoid the appearance of evil because people aren't perfected in love and think evil. So I can't even just put a girl in my truck to go find another girl, and it's a totally laid down, surrendered thing, and it's totally pure. She has no power over me. There ain't one possibility of anything happening except her getting born again. There is, she is zero threat to me. Zero. Zero. Yeah. You hear that's raging in me. You need to believe something. She's zero threat to me. Whew. I feel mad inside and I don't like that. Let's stop believing that we always got to be this way. She is zero threat to me. I was so busy loving on her, she couldn't handle it. She freaked out in my truck. She said, why do you care so much about me? Why do you care? She's in a dark alley. She asked me to drop her off in a dark alley so nobody'd see her get out of my truck because she ratted on the girl and thought she'd get sold out and it would all come down on her. It's street stuff. So she said, take me in the alley. That's where the guys take her. There ain't no lights back there. I'm not one bit afraid of the alley. And if you think I shouldn't have went back there, you ought to talk to Jesus about that. Because here's the raw truth. That girl has never been loved in her life. The only reason anyone has ever paid attention to her from the male figure side is because of what they could get from her, because of her body parts, because of convenience, because of a quick, easy, because of a little oral sex thing for $20 so she could stay high and keep on moving. That's all she knows. She is so hardened and so desensitized and so believing a lie because she's in the thick of it. And the only reason a man wants to be with her is because she can satisfy and gratify his temporal desire that's going to be raging soon anyway. How's that for raw? She ain't never been loved in her life. And I'm loving her with the Spirit of God, and she can't even take it. She is wigging out in my truck, freaking out, shaking like, why do you care so much about me? Why do you care? I grabbed her and I embraced her. I said, maybe I ought to tell you again. I know who you are. You keep saying you know me. I know who you are. There's a time to be born. And here you sit in my truck. He's the author and giver of life. Your life was seen before it was ever seen. You were known before you were ever known. Blood was shed for you. And his name's King Jesus. He lives in me and I love you. I said, why are you doing this? Why do you live? I'm trying to support my babies. I'm trying to support my babies. Honey, you could work at Walmart to do that. You have an addiction. Every addictive behavior is attached to a broken esteem and a low identity. Every addictive behavior. People don't see who they are, so they live up to the low level in which they value themselves. If you can teach people who they are, watch this. If you can teach people who they are, their lives will change. Yeah. Yeah. Man, you guys good?
I hope so, because I really feel good right now. It would be a shame if at least some of you aren't okay. I'd be like, what?
Come on, this is our calling. This is our lives. We got to get alone with him. Eternal life is knowing him. I'm not against praying the prayer. I'm not being cynical. That's not eternal life. Eternal life is knowing him. Watch this. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because God is love. And everyone who loveth, not some, everyone who loveth is born of God and why? Because of the fruit of love. Because you can't love without knowing him because he's love and you don't love first. He first loved you. Yay. And now that love that you receive becomes the love that you are. The goal of the gospel isn't being loved by God. The goal of the gospel is becoming the love of God. It fulfills all the law. Love one another. Yeah? It doesn't say be loved by one another. We're so busy. God loves you. God loves you. And oh, I love you. And everybody so needs to believe they're lovable. They're, oh, yeah, good. Love me. Ooh, love me. Yeah. Love me? Yeah. Love me? Ooh. You don't love me? Ooh, love me. Just, that's not the goal of your life. The goal of your life is to become the love of God and be the body of Christ. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because God is love. And everyone, not some, everyone who, born of God and he who loveth not, knoweth not God. Doesn't say you don't speak at a conference. Doesn't say you don't pastor. Doesn't say you don't go on a mission trip now and then. Doesn't say you don't give food to the poor. It does say if you don't love, there's one reason, not two. If you don't love, if you're taking account of suffered wrongs, if you have issues, if you're loaded down with self-centered stuff, there's one reason, not two. One, this is Bible, not my preaching. Bible. One reason, you don't know him like you could. If you don't love, you don't know him. It says, if he loved us this way, shouldn't we love one another? And he goes on and keeps talking. And then he says in 17, love is perfected in this, that we all have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, I don't know. When you read scriptures, it's a day of darkness and gloom. Men are freaking out. They're actually crying out for rocks and trees to kill them so they don't have to face the glory of his presence. The Bible calls it a day of darkness and gloom. Ooh, it's a scary day. That's what the Bible says. But to those that become love, it says we have boldness in that day. Why? Watch, watch. Well, because I know I'm born again and his spirit's in me. I get that sounds good because he's your seal for that day. But where's the boldness come from on that day? Where you're not freaked out and swallowed up with the uncertainty and the fear. You know why there's so much talk about end times? You know why? In fact, in the 90s, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, there were so many conferences on end times. People are still out there with their vaults, their food, their rice. They're waiting for the big boom. And the whole time, if not careful, they're missing everyday purpose. Missing everyday purpose and not sowing seed. They're holding on to seed. And they have good intentions. Well, we just want to have enough for when everybody, and they'll come to us, and God will use it as a... Well, why don't you just evangelize now? Why are you waiting till the world's desolate? It's desolate now in a loss of identity and sins. Why don't you just walk in love and walk in the light as he's in the light? Why are you waiting for a big boom? Why are you waiting for a nuclear tragedy? We've just gotten into this stuff because of fear and uncertainty. My Bible teaches that you can have boldness, not fear and uncertainty. There's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, there's camps, they fight, they hold conferences, they combat theology. Do you know I'm telling the truth? And it's all about revelations, and I don't ever even preach about revelations. I read it, I have my own understanding, I just don't get caught up in all that thing. Because here's what I know won't happen on that day. He comes, all the angels and saints with him, and we're all going wherever he's going, and people yelling through the clouds, I told you so. That ain't happening. So you probably shouldn't get so caught up right now with all that. Because here's what my Bible says in your Bible. You have boldness. You have boldness in that day. You have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, the whole chapter, he is love, he is love, he is love, he is love. Doesn't say he does love, he is love. As he is, so are the ones that are bold in that day, so are we in this world. So if love doesn't seek its own, no wonder we have to learn to what it means to deny ourselves and not be a Christian for our sake, but his great name. He said in Ezekiel, it's a sad story. I used to cry a lot when I'd read it and pray, and an intercession would come on me and repentance. And it was a very real season in my life. I'd read it and he said, you know, my people went out from among me and they went into nations all over, and everywhere they went, they profaned my name. What he's saying is they misrepresented who they are and why they're here and why they're my people. Do you know why the Israelites were the chosen people, the first fruit, the holy lump? It's because God chose out a people so that the nations of the world would know his great name through them. It's a type and shadow of the body of Christ that's coming through the blood by the Spirit. Yeah? But no matter what nation they went to, he said in Ezekiel, they profaned my name everywhere they went. He said, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pull them all back together. I'm going to put a new spirit in them. I'm going to take out that old heart of stone. I'm going to put in a heart of flesh. And I'm not going to do it for their sake. I'm going to do it for my great name. You know what I learned from the Lord? When you see him for who he really is, it automatically brings the best out in you. When you're not sure who he is, you're not sure. You can't even be intimate with him when you don't see him clear. You know what that's trouble? Nothing's reproduced unless two come together. If you serve him from a distance, you'll never bear the fruit of who he is. You'll never get pregnant. You'll never have children in him. And I'm not talking flesh. That's why the whole push against men's consciences and souls and guilty. Well, I just feel bad. Well, I just feel bad. Well, I just regret. Well, God, while you were yet a sinner, sin his son. We're not making light of sin. We're making much of redemption and righteousness. We're not making light of sin. We're making much of him and how he sees us through the blood. Right? Why? So you can get the veil off of you in Christ. The veil's removed. Why? So you can be a bride. Some of you, it would just behoove you to get alone in a bedroom, shut the door, take communion elements, just act it out if you have to for a contact point of faith, because that's communion elements. And you just, you ladies could do this easy, right? I would challenge you guys to do this. Oh, man. Woo! Then you take the bread, you take the cup, and you're unveiled and don't ever put it back over. You're given. You're his. What's a daddy do on wedding day? Tradition. It comes from tradition. The bride is under the covering of daddy. She's under daddy's authority. Now, it doesn't work that way today, even in the church. Most of them have already honestly slept together. I'm not being mean. I'm being real. But culture, tradition, especially Jewish heritage, is amazing. Daddy, preacher says, who gives this bride in marriage? Daddy says, I do. Why? He's saying she's been under my authority. I've been keeping her. Today, I'm giving her to this man. She's coming out from under daddy, and two are going to become one. At the end of the ceremony, after the exchange of vows, the pastor or the priest says, you may now, what's he implying? You haven't kissed her yet. She's been veiled. You know what we do? Mamas do this. Did he kiss you? Did you kiss? We're singing songs about kissing at 16. emotionally driven, sensually driven, heart pounding, young. Oh, he likes me. Oh, she likes me. Oh, kiss. Ooh, first date, first kiss. I don't know. She wonder. Emotions are raging. 4 relationships later and tons of memories. You're still going at it, looking for the right one. Not cool. But you're not condemned. Let's just grow up into him in all things. Let's stop living the same way that's produced no life. The priest says, you may now kiss the bride. What's he implying? She's been under the covering of daddy since. He's not kissed her yet. Now he can kiss her because they're one and he's given his life to her in faith and vows and promises. Why kiss before that? You might be kissing somebody else's spouse. Why sleep with them? You might be sleeping with somebody else's spouse. You're 16. You're not even close to thinking of getting married. And you're fondling and spooning and touching and groping. Why? It's somebody else's spouse, probably. Man, where am I at right now? What are we doing? You know why I'm so confident when I speak? Because I understand, because I lived that way and I'm changed. And I live with me. You don't live. You just see me on a weekend or this conference and you're like, really, dude? What? I live with me and I like it a lot. I'm going to go to bed with me tonight. It's going to be so amazing. I'm going to wake up. It's going to be me. I'm going to look in the mirror and guess who I'm going to see in me? I'm going to look in the mirror and he's going to be in there going. I just promise. It's not, I promise you, 23 years. It's not. Oh man, time to get up. Man, I didn't sleep good. I didn't want to get up. Lord, help. I don't even know. I'm sorry. I'm not being judgmental, but I don't even want to understand. You keep your conscience clear. Keep your heart in him. Man, even if the devil wakes you up at night, you ought to rejoice, sit up in bed and smile and freak the devil out and say, Lord, I so appreciate you waking me up. Man, what an honor that it's 2:30, that you would come in secret at 2:30 and wake me up to pray out your kingdom. And the devil's going, no, no, no. And you're like, God. If the devil's waking you up, you do that 2 or 3 times, he ain't coming in your room. You intercede and you feel sleepy, take it an extra half hour. If you can pray in tongues, go for it if you're tired. Sharabaka, shundaba, shitananama. Just torture the devil. Hatananama hasate bafata. Oh! And then the devil, then he runs back to the devil. He's his boss. Boss, I went into their room. I did exactly what you said. And they worship God. You fool. You didn't tell them what I said. You didn't wake them up like I told you and put those thoughts I told you in their head. I did, boss. I promise. I promise. You fool. There's no way you did that. Because when you do that to Christians, they get grayed out, depressed, and call people for prayer. Not just Christian. I think they're actually a believer. I think they're actually a Christian for God. Yeah! Come on! We can live this way! Fight the good fight of faith! Yeah! 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 what's happening right now? You know why you guys are freaking out and celebrating? Let me actually tell you. Because there's so much simplicity in this, but so much freedom. And you can hear that it's an answer. We aren't people loaded down with 25 problems. We have one crazy, amazing, good answer. Yeah? Christ in me. So you wake up in the morning and you get a flashback from a year ago. Ever happened to anybody? You're just feeling like you're actually doing good. And all of a sudden, the thing that defiled your life 6 months ago, you just replay it through your head like a video. Ever happened to anybody? Anybody ever just driving to work, feeling good about God? And all of a sudden, little thoughts come about unworthy and your life's not really changed. And what's it really matter? And who really cares if you're saved? And stuff like that. Who's ever had that? See, the last thing you need when that happens is prayer. You need truth. Because you internalize it and you think it's you, but it bothers your heart and that proves it's not you. It's a strategy from hell to get you distracted and make you believe you're something you're not, to keep you where you used to be, to get you condemned again, to get you feeling dirty again, to get you to feel like, oh man, I'm easy, I'm loose, I slept around, I'm used goods. Are you kidding me? You were born again. You are not the person you were 2 years ago. Watch this. Watch this. If you could go back and change some things, would you? Well, then you ain't the person we're even talking about. You can never go back and change where you've been. You can't rewrite one page of your past, but who you are can change. And when who you are changes, God will never see you for where you've been. He will see you for who you've become. So you ought to call it dead. And when the memory, and when the flashback, and when the impression comes, you ought to lift your hands high unless you're driving and have faith. And you ought to say, Lord God, I appreciate the change in my life. I appreciate the way you love me. I thank you that my life is worth the blood of Jesus and you live in me big time. I thank you for the gospel. That sure beats, hey man, going through a tough time. Can you pray with me? Because when you do that, all you're asking to do is feel better instead of believe better. And that's why you never feel better and always need prayer. That's not what prayer's for. Prayer's to believe for lives to change and people to come into the kingdom and authorities and leaders, not to change your feelings. Yeah. Oh, I'm preaching the gospel. I hope you're hearing it. You get a little memory, a little flashback. You remember doing what you said you know you'd never do, and you start feeling grayed out. Don't you feel grayed out? You lift your heart, and if that thing's... that thing's coming to break you. But it's running a big risk of making you if you're a believer. And that thing that's trying to steal you away can establish you if you hold on to truth. And all of a sudden, a month later, you can have a greater revelation of God's love because of the lie. Oh, that memory comes, that thing replays like a video, and you lift your heart to God while you're driving to work, and you say, Father, I thank you, you've changed my life forever. I thank you, God, you purify me, and you've done a work from the inside out. Father, you've made me brand new and clean and pure. You have changed me through and through. I'm so honored that you live in me. I'm so excited for today. That little thing that's flashing back is going, what? Where'd you get that out of this? Why? Because the weapons of your warfare, they're not carnal. Even though you're walking in a human body, your weapons aren't carnal. They're mighty in God for the breaking down of strongholds. Everything that rises above the knowledge of God, every thought captive, you're bringing it into obedience according to Christ. It's the truth that makes you free, not ministry. Truth. Yeah? Man, you know what excites me? I can tell in my heart, you guys are really, actually, really getting this. I can feel it. Like, see, I can tell you two stories of my own. I was never bound to pornography. I was never addicted to pornography. It was just in my life at times. It was available at work. Every once in a while, I'd stop. I'd check it out. I'd view it. I only ever probably saw 2 pornography videos in my whole life, but I saw them, so they got seeded into me. When I was 11, I was walking down the railroad tracks on the Sunday, and the brickyard was closed, and the train yard was shut down, but there was a rolled-up magazine on the tracks, and I picked it up, and there was a lady and a man, and it was a graphic porn magazine, and I was 11. And I remember just sitting on the dock going and just reading. And oh my goodness, I probably sat there for an hour and a half. I was just mesmerized. And all of a sudden, I had a teacher in my life. And when I got saved, I got saved. First thing that came to my mind was my definition of manhood. I remember the morning I got saved, I cried in my bedroom and said, Jesus, you couldn't have made me this way. It's at the expense of another. It costs somebody. I said, I don't believe it. Love's not in that. I said this out loud. Don't get offended. I said, there ain't no way Adam was walking through the garden with an erection and said, what am I supposed to do with this? And you said, I'll take care of it. There ain't no way. There ain't one woman on the earth that has the job description of meeting my desire. This thing is perverted and you've got to change me. And I fell on my knees and cried. And he changed me. I shared it with 3 pastors and they said, stop, leave me alone. I enjoy my sex life. I said, I ain't talking about your sex life. I'm talking about him. And they didn't even want to hear the story, because their wives were working it to their desire. Pastors couldn't even hear the revelation. As, hey, we're cool. Things are good. I was in a service one day. It was a school of ministry. I'm supposed to teach and train them the gifts, especially word of knowledge. That was my assignment from the ministry that asked me to teach. I said, okay. I'm in the service. I got a mic in my hand. The service is amazing. The worship gets so ridiculous that we lose all the musicians. And you look around and they're just in positions. It's just, and you got this one keyboardist. It always ends up this way. And somehow they're touching these high keys and it sounds like rain. And every time it goes ding, it goes ding, ding. It's just gone. It's just crazy. And that's what it was like, right? I'm standing there. I'm the teacher. I'm like, oh, this is amazing, man. I'm going to just transition in here. God, this is awesome. And I'm ready to transition. I'm the speaker. I got a mic in my hand. It was a handheld. I wasn't cool about that, but I got over it. I don't like handhelds. But I remember it was a handheld. It still kind of marks me a little. I like, oh. All that blood Jesus shed to get me free, and you give me a handheld. So then I'm preaching like this, and the sound men are going, whoa! Just, this is perfect. This is even better. I'm standing there, and graphic, like I watched it yesterday. One of the videos from 12 years before. Right then, in the presence of God in the heat of worship. See, it's on purpose. Because we say, well, nothing can come through the presence of God. And the devil ain't. So this must be in my heart. That's what we think. This video comes through my head. I'm the preacher man. I'm supposed to teach in a minute, and I got a crazy video that the last thing I want to see is the video. It's the last thing on my mind, people. I've been in fellowship with God, man. Spirit of God living in me. I'm seeing things all the time in my life. You think I'm going to let a video run through my head that violates my heart and sell out and say it's me and need prayer? Well, brother, you weren't all the way delivered, probably. I'm not ground at the person that said it, but I am ground at what they said. Don't mess with me with that stuff. So guess what happened? Who's a minister? Who's a preacher? Who's a pastor? Raise your hand. Let me see you. It's no trap or trick. I just want to know because I'm talking to you right now. You ever been in that moment where you have a microphone and you're afraid to talk because it's so amazing? That you got to find the time to talk. That if you would just talk, it could be out of order. You got to know when to talk because it's an atmosphere. It's God. Do you ever been in any of that? Anybody knows what I'm talking about? Well, I promise you that was this atmosphere. And it was holy and amazing. And I got this video running through my head from 12 years before. And see, you just don't want to do that to me. Because I'm a believer. And I'm kind of surprised that he went that route because I'm just surprised. But he's driven. Steal, kill, destroy. He goes and looks for an opportune time. Maybe this will catch him off guard because it's a holy moment and he'll think too much and get analytical and get condemned and cry to the altar and repent for something he's not. Maybe he'll think because he thought it's him. Maybe he heard a preacher say, well, if your thoughts were put on the big screen, how would you? Well, not all your thoughts are coming from your heart. Some of them are recollections. Some of them are demonic. Some of them are suggestions. Some of them are strategies. Don't preach that stuff. Guess what happened? The atmosphere is so holy and ridiculous, you're afraid to talk. And guess what I did? Father, I thank you. A little louder than that. Father, I thank you that you've transformed my life, that you put the holiness of who you are inside of me, that God, I'm a changed man and a brand new man. And God, I love you because I see your first love. And I went absolutely ballistic and obliterated the image of that video with the truth of God's word. And the people, they love me, they respect me, they know me. And they're going, it took a while, but it was funny what happened. I remembered afterward what happened. They were like, whoa, it scared them. It's holy. People are like, oh, the keyboard is. And all of a sudden they go, Father, I thank you. Right? Yeah. And people started going, Lord, I thank you for your love. Thank you for your righteousness. God, I thank you. I'm a new creation. People started to shout out and commune with God. And the whole atmosphere went, boom. All because this sneaky little slimy fallen thing crept in and tried to take over. So guess what happened? We were just raging. And I looked at a lady about right where you're sitting, ma'am, the second one in that row right there. I said, ma'am, you have something growing on the side of your ankle, on your right side of your ankle. It's like a growth, a cyst. She goes, I said, check it because it's not there. Sir, in the middle of your back, bam, pow, boom. Watch. I don't even know if that would have happened if it wasn't for the video. Bam! Bam! And you think you have a problem. You have an answer. You have an answer. You have an answer. Yeah. Oh my goodness, I gotta stop. I gotta stop. Sit down and behave. Sit down and behave. Yeah! Here's what we need to do. We'll do this clean, and then I'll release you guys to pray for each other. I do this all the time. I'm going to let you guys get involved with me, okay? I'm not calling you all up here. But I see where we're at. We got to go this way. I preach on redemption all the time. It means brought back to original value. Bought back to original value. God wants to bring you through the blood to Adam before the tree. That's why Jesus raised from the dead in John 20 and breathed on his disciples, because he just went to the Father and put his blood on the mercy seat. So now the blood is speaking better things, and there's mercy towards man, and he just was the lamb that took away the sin of the world. So when he came into the room that evening, he said, "Don't cling to me, Mary. I didn't ascend yet. I have to ascend to my Father. He's my Father. He's your Father. He's my God. He's your God. Go tell my brethren," not my two-faced, low-life traitor. "Go tell my brethren." What's he saying? "I haven't changed my mind about any of those guys. I got to go to the Father. I'll be back. Tell him I'm coming." What was he doing? Hebrews 9. He was going to take his own blood into the mercy seat and be a high priest between God and men. So he put his blood on the mercy seat. You know he did, because Romans 5:1, "You have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." He came, and when he walked in the room, they're in fear of the Jews. He just walks in the room and says, "Peace to you." Why? His blood's speaking now. And they have peace with God. So he announced it, "Peace to you." He showed him his hands, he showed him his side, and they were glad when they saw it was the Lord. The very next thing he said, "Peace to you." It's a different peace than the first peace. The first peace was, "The peace I made between you and God. You have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." The second peace is, when they realized it was him, what happened in their soul immediately? "Oh my gosh, we betrayed him. Oh my gosh, we sinned. Oh my gosh, we didn't stand. Oh my gosh, we scattered." Would you agree? Come on, they pull up a net full of fish, and Peter falls on his knees and says, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." What do you think happened now that Jesus is standing right in front of them and they all scattered? When they realized it was him, their souls went, "Oops." And Jesus is so amazing. He said, "Peace to you. As the Father sent me." He said this to the guys that did do nothing right. "As the Father sent me, so I send you." Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our..." And in verse 27, "So God made man." John chapter 20, "As the Father sent me," sound like image? "So I send. For God so..." "So I send." And then he and said, "Receive Holy Spirit." Why? Because when Adam sinned, that all died. Jesus' blood speaking better things. Genesis 1 all over again. As if sin never happened. And here we are still fighting sin instead of living the good fight of faith. Here's what I want to tell you, and I'm trying to stop. I should be done. Sorry, guys. Am I okay? Can I do this quick? You good? It's your conference, man. I need thumbs up. No, stop. Stop. No, we'll just do this. We'll do this. Here's what I learned in my life. I get emails. I get testimonies that just make me cry all the time. I just got one late spring. We did a baptism at a recovery house on the shores and beaches of Florida. And the girl came up to me and says, "If I'm hearing you right, you're telling me that God can take AIDS out of me?" I said, "Honey, he raised Jesus from the dead. He breathed into dirt and a man stood up." "Yes, he can take AIDS out of you." I said, "How'd you get HIV? She said, "Prostitution and drug addiction." I said, "Are you a prostitute anymore?" "No." "Are you a drug addict?" "No." "You born again?" "Yeah." "Well, then you're a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new." "So if you could go back and change your life and rewrite the pages, would you?" "Yes, of course. What kind of question is that?" I question hoping to get that answer. So I'm not even talking to the girl that you're talking about. I'm talking to somebody new. So if mercy triumphs over judgment and God won't judge you for where you've been, then why is where you've been judging you? Maybe we need to tell it to leave. She fell on me and started crying, and I rocked her. "Thank you for freedom, God. I didn't say, Father, I thank you right now. Fire of God, aid you come out. Father, just thank you for your unstoppable love. Seeing a girl for who she's become and not where she's been. Where your son has been is where you find her. Simple stuff like that, guys. Thank you. That was late October. I see her in January. She comes running to me with papers. Her last visit, because she's on the HIV government list. Quarterly exams. She owes the paper undetectable. Emails me in March, January, February, March. Three undetectables, three negatives, and you're wiped off the list.
Yeah. So guess what the email said in March?
Completely gone. Why? That's not who she is. She's a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold all things. Well, brother, she made her bed. There's consequences. You gotta, no. He made your bed. You probably ought to get in it. There's nice clean sheets. Well, I don't believe that. I understand there's a lot of unbelief in the body of Christ. So I'm not even going to try to combat that because there's no explanation good enough for unbelief. But faith doesn't need one. I'd rather live in faith. It is miserable and wretched to live in unbelief. The Bible calls it evil and wicked. Well, I don't believe that. Well, do you have documentation? Well, I need to see her papers. Why? You'll say, how do you know that's her papers? And unbelief is never satisfied because it's wretched. An enmity to your created value. Total perversion. Unbelief. Total perversion. How's that for straight? I said that gentle with a smile. So here's what we want to do tonight. If you've been somewhere in the past and you made mistakes and it's cost you in your flesh. If you've got an STD, if you've got hepatitis, there's no way I could count the testimonies I've received of hepatitis completely going out of people's bodies and incurable STDs and other STDs. We've seen genital warts. We've seen herpes. We've seen everything disappear from bodies as if they've never sinned. Why? Because he's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. He said in John 12, I didn't come to judge you. But I came that you might be saved, but you'll have my word that'll judge you in that day. So why not in this day receive the salvation of the Lord and then live towards his word and in that day have boldness? Because as he is, so are we. If you've hurt yourself, if you've lost your memory, your long-term memory, your concentration through a binge, I feel like this. I feel there's a couple of people that can relate to this. You went out and you went a little farther than you've ever been. You just did a little more than you've ever done. And you know that was a marker to where you're not the same. It's affected you physically. It's affected you mentally. Tonight, God is going to restore that in your life. He's going to clean out blood. He's going to change things. If you've been a cutter, you make sure you stand up because there's new skin for you. Oh, I'm not kidding. We've seen it. He's seen it. I've seen it. We've seen it. I've watched young girls stand at altars and get completely new skin that were so marked they didn't even want to wear short sleeves. I've seen at least a half a dozen suicidal attempt scars completely disappear off of people. The first time I preached this, we were in Worcester. And remember the teens started freaking out back there? And I said, what's going on? And they said they went to the mental ward to minister to him. He got born again. The reason he was there, he was blind, drunk, or high, and tried to kill himself. And they rushed him and saved his life, but he was all butchered up. He's standing there listening to me preach this. First time in a power and love that I preached it. He's back in the back, and they all start freaking out because they know him. They've been ministered to him. And I stopped and said, they ruined my great sermon. They just, ah! And I said, what's going on back there? This guy. He stood up, he's crying. While I was talking, he said, man, he's talking to me. I don't like these scars. I don't wish I could ever cut myself. I know I could use it as a testimony, but I don't want these scars. He looked down. They were all gone. Remember? He stood up freaking out. They were all his friends were like, ah! He makes all things new. Now, here's what you need to do. You need to be humble. And stand to your feet right where you are if you're carrying some mark from yesterday's mistake, but it's not who you are. And if you could go back and change what you did, you would change it, but you can't. So why don't you live changed and stand up and say this by standing up. That is not who I am and who I ever want to be. Stand to your feet. Watch this. Watch this. Don't anybody think twice about standing because it's nobody's business why you're standing. Everybody in this room has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now watch this. There's so many of us that should be marked that never got marked. There's people that barely did anything and it tried to get them for keeps. Yeah? So it's just not fair and there's no mercy out there, but there's mercy in him. Stand to your feet quick. I got about 5-6 more people you need to pop up. You're just thinking about others. Get up. That's good. Good, good. Yeah. Wow. That's about 12 or 15. That's good. I need you up if this thing fits your life. Stand to your feet. When you stand, what you're saying is this is not who I am. Now I need you all that are standing to please look at me in sincerity. Please look at me. I'm going to ask you one question. If you could go back and change some things you've done and change the decisions you've made and the actions you've done, now that you know what you know, and even as of this night, if this is the first night you can be honest and say this, if you could go back and rewrite that page, would you? Would you? Well, then guess what? Something's shifting in you and you're not the person that wrote the page. You're a brand new person in him. Are you with me? So begin to thank him right now that he loves you. Thank him personally right now. You don't have to look at me anymore. Thank him that he loves you and that he totally forgives you. If you're sitting around these people, get up, grab somebody, grab their hand, say, hey, I'm going to stand with you right now. I'm believing for total redemption. Grab them, hug them, tell them you love them. Take heart if you stood up. I'm telling you, there's brand new for you. Just say, be redeemed. Be completely made whole. Be completely restored. Just say simple things like that over them. Don't look to prophesy. Don't pray long prayers right now. The blood is enough. The name of Jesus is plenty. Just thank God if you're being prayed for his love and redemption. Just say, be completely whole. Oh, this is good. Watch this. Say as if you've never sinned through the blood of Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul and body, blameless till he comes. That's 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray right now. Completely whole. Father, I thank you all through this room. Complete wholeness. Not one mark, not one stain. Clean sheets for everyone. Brand new blood, brand new skin, brand new bodies. In the authority of Jesus' name, behold. Father, I thank you not one STD can remain. HIV, you are no match for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hepatitis, you will not stay in these people. We command you to leave in the authority of Jesus' name by the power of his blood and the power of his love. His love is greater. Yay. Wholeness in Jesus' name. Now thank him that he's doing it and thank him that he loves you. Yeah? Yeah. Oh, I gotta pray this quick. I'm gonna be specific. I gotta be specific. I'm hearing it. Everybody that was a cutter, scars you leave. Every bit of mutilation, you leave the bodies. Man, I was in a Mennonite church and a young boy went through so much hell as a teenager. He took a razor blade and mutilated his private area. And he's in the service. I called him out and spoke over him. His wife's there. He's very young. I spoke over him. Everybody knew him because it was a family church. They knew him from birth. He's 20 years old, married. And they're bawling because it's like I knew him, they said. But God knows him. He goes home with his wife. He gets in the house. I didn't even know he mutilated. I didn't know none of that. I just spoke a word over him. He gets home. He gets alone. He's changing. He has zero mutilation on his body. The The next day, they came to church. They're over along the wall. They said, Pastor, you got to come. They're standing there like this. I'm not joking. I said, what's going on, guys? They were so freaked out because the flesh that he took away was there. The scars that he cut were going. Well, I don't believe you, Dan. I'm sorry for you. That makes me a liar and a very twisted man. Every scar you leave from everybody in this room. Father, I thank you for clean arms, clean stomachs, clean thighs, clean legs, clean wrists. Scars you leave in Jesus' name. If you were a cutter, thank God that he loves you. Thank God that he loves you. Thank God that he makes things new. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. I'm asking you, we're asking you for brand new skin through the blood of Jesus Christ. I know we could use it as a testimony, but man, Lord, your goodness leads to repentance, and boy, would it bless us good to see what we earned be removed by your goodness. Because we're still running after you. We can use it for a testimony, but Lord, thank you for removing that mark. In Jesus' name. If you want to be bold and you want to be unashamed and you were a cutter, why don't you look and inspect your bodies? Why don't you check yourself if there's anybody that was a cutter? Get in the light. Get somewhere. If it was obvious, just start looking. Tell me if where there were scars, there's no scars. Let us know. Scars disappear all the time. If you had scars and you don't see them anymore, check them. Tell me if they're gone. Make sure you go like this if your scars disappeared. If you're not ashamed, if you can, if it's in a discreet place, don't do that. Check your bodies right now. Check your bodies for scars. Check your bodies. If you can, and you don't see scars, go like this. I want to know who you are. I want to see what God's doing here. It doesn't mean everybody can check. Scars are going. Scars are going. Look at her bawling. Just look at her crying. Hey! Hey! Jesus! Yeah, if you can check. Honestly, you might need to run to the men's room or ladies' room and check, because I'm telling you, I'm feeling this thing. God has given brand new stuff. Check arms, check legs. Who can check? There's somebody else. I'm seeing somebody else. Check your body if you can check. Show me if you're healed. I need to know who you are. Go like this. I know it's overwhelming. I've seen people fall. Yeah, we got you. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, I'd cry too, girl. Right here? Yeah? Going. Hey! Hey! Anybody else? Am I missing anybody? Make sure I see you. You? Is it going? Going. You checked. It's going. Gee, that's awesome, man. Yeah! Here's what I need you to do. I'm really late. Pair up with one person. I'd say somebody you don't really know. If your best buddies are on both sides, go find somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself. Watch. Ask them how you can pray for them. If they're sick, if they're hurting, if they can't see out of an eye, if they can't hear out of an ear, don't get intimidated. Let's just learn to keep believing God. Here's what I'm convinced. We're growing up into him. We might not be seeing everything we're declaring, but if we stay on track, we'll keep growing. If we stop changing our mind every time we don't see what we're saying, we'll get there. If we stop changing our mind every time we don't see what we're saying, we'll get there. Here's what else I know. The more people we lay hands on, the more things we'll see. The number one reason Christians don't pray for the sick, they're afraid nothing will happen. And because they don't pray, they already have what they fear. Get past yourself tonight. You're at a power and love conference. Find somebody you don't know. Take time. introduce yourself. Ask them how you can believe and pray for them. Be honest and tell them, and then flip it and do it the other way and watch what God does in people. Would you do that tonight? You don't need a speaker to pray for you. You honestly don't. We are trying to get a million miles away from that. I don't even share testimonies in services anymore because of the way people, please don't just drive to my house and call it faith. People knock. I just had somebody knock on my door at 5 a.m. I got people knock on my door at 9 a.m. I got people saying, I watch you on YouTube and Jesus said, if I drive to your house, I'll be healed. He didn't say that. Because I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching you being with him and getting to know him. Some people have freaked my wife out because I'm not even home and they're just driving, parking, driving, parking, driving, parking. It's not the Lord. Stop it. You say, well, they thronged Jesus. That's because he was the only one. He's trying to train us up. He had 12 and then he put it 70. Come on, now we got 1,000. Yeah? Father, I thank you for what you're doing. Lift your hands with me, please. Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We are wide open and we're saying yes. We understand the gospel. We are not what we used to be. You're what you created us to be and paid for us to be. We're going to learn this thing. We're going to grow in this thing and we're not looking back. Holy Spirit, I believe you're going to help us. You're going to inspire us and you're going to teach us. And we are growing up into you in all things to the full measure of the stature of Christ. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Pair up, love each other, and let God move. Love you. Bye-bye.